We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Dustin Hawkinsmith, and it's quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Now that the season's in full swing, the action's still unfolding. Head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both pro and collegiate sports, it's the time to check out all that DraftKings has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this one. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State. Bet $1 on them, and you cash $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dustin, we've been talking about DraftKings so much. If there was ever a time to sign up, this is it. I mean, bet a dollar to win 100 with Penn State or Ohio State. That is a great deal. But you and I still have some unfinished business talking about this Penn State-Indiana game. So much more to talk about when we were done. We were with the last segment, we were talking about the running backs and the injuries there. How about the six-man offensive line from Kirk Ciarrocca? Did you ever think you'd see that with this Penn State offense?
No, I mean, you think new offensive coordinator, you think innovation, you know, you think of where Penn State had been with Moorhead and Ricky Ronnie and what they were trying to do. And that kind of flies in the face of it. But I actually really liked it. I'd like to see, you know, what other kinds of wrinkles can be shown off of that. And I think it's something that Ohio State now has to look at on film and prepare for. I think it plays into what the strength of this offense should be, assuming, you know, they get somewhat healthy at the running back spot. So I was a fan of showing this and utilizing this. I think we'll see a little bit more innovation, a little bit more clever play calling out of that. But I thought it was pretty cool.
I liked it too, and you got the feeling they really wanted to establish that, hey, we've got a running game here, and it would have been really interesting to see if Noah Cain was still healthy, how that would have unfolded throughout this game. All right, let's go move on to a few other things. Special teams were a disaster. Jake Pinneger missed two field goals, Dustin. One of them a chip shot at the end of the half. It looked like they might pick up some momentum and, you know, dunk, you know, kerplunk off the upright. And there were other mistakes made on special teams, and we'll get to them a little bit later also, Lamont Wade. But him on that kickoff return, was he just trying to do too much? This is not what we expect from Penn State special teams.
No, I think this was an area of all the different situations in the game. You know, I thought I hadn't really given a whole lot of thought to special teams, even though maybe we should have. You know, you have some new faces and some new roles, but a lot of that was just a lack of preparedness to play and to execute all the little things in special teams. You know, you don't forget about Marquise Wilson essentially crowding Jahan Dotson, and almost, you know, Penn State really dodged a bullet on that muffed punt too. And then you had, there was another key penalty too. It escapes me what it was and when, but just poor execution up and down. A lot of work for Joe Lorig and those special teams units now to get down to it. Jordan Stout, came up just, a half a yard, maybe short of making a 57-yarder. Jake Pinneger hit the upright with a velocity that you don't see that very often. I thought the whole goalpost was going to explode when he hit it. But just a lot of disappointing play, and I think Penn State fans with Lorig have come to expect more than that.
Well, you mentioned Jordan Stout's field goal at the attempt at the end of regulation, a very long one. What was it, 58 yards or so? There were still 8 seconds left on the clock. At that point, I'm saying, don't you run a quick out, try to pick up, 6, 7, 8 yards? That would have been the difference.
Yeah, I think, and they even mentioned it on the broadcast that different coaches have different philosophies on how much time is required in order to get another playoff. I think running the right kind of play and out, if you throw it incomplete, okay, you still got the 57-yarder. You still got probably, if you run a 5-yard out, you've still probably got 4 to 5 seconds on the clock. I didn't think there was as much risk to that as James Franklin seemed to have thought. I think the confidence in Jordan Stout played a part in his decision-making in that process, but I don't think, you can't take 57 yards for granted. I don't care who you are when there's 8 seconds on the clock. I think most coaches would have run another play there, the type of play you just described, a quick out that's near the out-of-bounds line. You're either incomplete or you're out of bounds.
Remember, these are guys who could cover 40 yards in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could cover 5 to 10 yards and get out of bounds in much less than 8 seconds. So, yeah, I was very disappointed in that and very surprised when I saw the amount of time left and that they were going for the field goal. That didn't seem right to me. But anyway, let's move on. There's still a couple more things. We haven't really hit the defense at all. I think overall, you've got to be pretty happy with their performance right up until the very end. There were a couple plays, though. The Jesse Lucada targeting call, what was your take on that one?
I think that it was a tough call. I think it's by the letter of the law. It seemed to me to be the right call, but I didn't really see malicious intent there. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see bad intentions. And I think this is where people are very much dissatisfied with the targeting call, is that there's a spirit of that rule and there's the letter of that rule. And sometimes the letter of that rule cost players who were, just ended up, body shift by the time he launches himself, body shift. I don't think he was going for the head. It's going to end up cost him, the rest of that game. It cost him also the first half against Ohio State. Big consequences for, I think, a play that didn't really merit that.
Well, when you have a situation, if a running back is running with the ball, he's not considered a vulnerable player. And I believe this was a receiver after making a catch. But he was ducking. The receiver was ducking low also. So if as a defender you're trying to get low, hit the player low, but he ducks as low as you do, the end result is going to be helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be accounted for. Another play that I wanted to mention to you, Dustin, we talked about it a little bit off the air. Lamont Wade scares me. I think he always is looking to make the big play, make the big hit. When all goes well, that turns into a turnover. But late in the game, Indiana on their fourth down desperation play, they threw it to a receiver. It was well beyond his reach. And then Lamont Wade puts quite a hit on him that they did have to go and review to see if it was targeting. Now, it wasn't targeting. He hit him below the neck and helmet, so it wasn't. But boy, that was close. And from my impression, it was uncalled for. What do you think?
Yeah, to me, it looked like it was pretty clear. Even when you account the speed of the game, it seemed pretty clear that the ball had already cleared. There was no need to put yourself or your team at risk of a 15-yard penalty there. And he did do that. I think he plays with a lot of passion, a lot of heart. He's a tone setter, kind of the energizing leader in some respects to that defense, but he needs to dial it back. He needs to rein that in some. I also thought it was scary anytime you saw him, one-on-one in the slot, there were some very nervous moments with Lamont Wade in coverage too. So that part of it was scary.
Yes, he's going to make either big plays for you or against you. And I keep my fingers crossed every time he's involved in the play. All right, just real quick comments on these couple things. Your reaction to the true freshman at wide receiver and at running back?
I think there was promise there that didn't really come through in the stat line, but I liked the brief glimpses of Keandre Lambert-Smith, and I think Parker Washington has got some chops too that we'll start to see more and more. Just didn't look at those guys a lot. Didn't look beyond Jahan Dotson and Pat Freiermuth a lot, and that was kind of the same deal as last year. I think that'll evolve over time. And then Kevon Lee brings a little bit of that power that they lack without Noah Kane. So I think we'll see more of him if we don't see Kane this weekend.
You were right. I just watching him run a couple times, I said that looks like Noah Kane again, which is a very much a compliment. Real quick on the defense, overall a pretty good performance until the very end. Couple interesting notes from my standpoint. Shaka Toney was great on that next to last drive, as it turns out. We didn't hear much about Brandon Smith, though, did we?
I thought the same exact thing. Didn't hear about much about Brandon Smith or that linebacker crew at large. Jesse Lucchetta was maybe the most active and most visible part of that. You need more from Brandon Smith there. I liked Tariq Castro-Fields and Joey Porter Jr. I think they got something there with the energy, the length, the aggression that they were both playing with. I think, you know, that's a promising thing moving forward. You're going to need those guys to play lockdown. They've got some depth there as well.
I very much agree. I liked what we saw from Joey Porter. With the linebackers, I think Ellis Brooks was okay. When Jesse Lucchetta went out, I wonder how much effect that had on that last long drive by Indiana and the overtime. All right, last thing in the minute we have left here, Dustin, do got to get your quick look ahead to Ohio State game with a 12.5-point spread.
Sports are unpredictable and wild, and just when you're ready to draw certain conclusions, the games flip on your ear. So with that in mind, you know, Penn State is kind of a dangerous situation to try to bet against them, because you're going to assume the sloppy wreck that they were in parts against Indiana. I don't think that they're going to show up looking like, you know, the worst version of themselves against Indiana. They need to execute better. I do still have Ohio State covering this one. I've got it at 31-17. I just don't think Penn State is quite in the same tier as Ohio State. And you also don't have that whiteout crowd to try to make up some of the talent difference that there is between these two teams.
You don't have the whiteout crowd. You don't have Micah Parsons. You don't have Journey Brown. You probably don't have Noah Kane. You don't have Jesse Lucchetta for the first half. A lot of things going against Penn State for next week. All right. Thank you very much, Dustin. That went fast. Hopefully next week we'll have a win to talk about. We'll see you then.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. Get in on all the football action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.